Everybody here tonight, I have 3 hours worth of material to do in 45 minutes. So you're going to have to buckle your seatbelts and get ready to go. And I added like three times as much as David had. And David always has about five lessons in two. So before we get started, I've asked Mark to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to before thee with our heads bowed and hearts full of thanksgiving, giving thee the praise for this beautiful day you've blessed us with and all the many blessings throughout our physical life. Pray, Father, that by being here tonight, we'll gain more knowledge and wisdom of thy word and be better servants of thine, better stewards of the things you've given us. Pray for those at this number that are sick and are recovering and those that have lost loved ones. Be with each and every one of those. We pray that all that are in the classes tonight will pay attention and gain much from being here tonight. We're thankful for the desire for each and every one to be here tonight. We'd ask you to forgive us of our wrongs. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So this is lesson 7 in stewardship. We start off every class realizing these five fundamental points, that everything belongs to God, nothing belongs to me. God has entrusted the possessions of the portion of His estate to me during my lifetime. God has given me instructions for the performance of my duties as a steward. And God will require an accounting of me as a steward. We've had multiple lessons here. We started with the stewardship, time and talents, wealth, letting it go, trusting in God, the parable of the unjust steward. We looked at our bodies, the family, and our children. Tonight, we're going to finish up the Word, and then David, on Sunday and Wednesday, will do the serving the Master, and then Todd will be here the last Sunday and Wednesday for Vacation Bible School. So we're going to finish up the Word tonight. We're going to do a three-second review. But we looked at, you know, how do we look at things that are precious, and we went around the auditorium here talking about things that are important to us, how we take care of them, you know, and how we would make sure that they were protected. That was a joke, but I'm not going to go through the joke part here. How important is the Bible to the world? And we looked at some statistics. In the last 50 years, 3.9 billion Bibles have been sold, which I think is astonishing, 3.9 billion. And then we looked at another study, and it says here, of all the books that have been sold, if you count the ones that have been given away in history, it looks like about 6 billion copies when it's all said and done. 6 billion copies. What's interesting about that fact, there's about 6 billion people in the world today. It's almost as if there was a Bible for everyone. And we talked about the challenge sometimes it is, all these Bibles in the world, but where do most of them wind up, unfortunately? On coffee tables or on bookshelves. Collecting dust or being a decorative item, not something that we would actually use in our class or in our lives. And we talked about if you know, would you do the same thing with a pill. We talked about how the Bible has the answer to the cure for everything, for eternal life, the thing that can give everybody that hope of one day being in heaven. And we talked about if you had a pill that could cure everything, would you leave it on the coffee table to collect dust? Is that something we would just leave there, or is that something that we would use and give out to people? And I put up here, the Word of God is the cure for everything and does offer eternal life for everyone. And we must know the Word. I'm using an example of a game. We play a game, we get the rules out. We know what the rules are. We never hardly have any interpretation issues or argue with how to play checkers, Monopoly, Connect Four, Rook, or Axis and Allies. We get the rules, we know what those are. And for us to know what we're to do as far as what God wants us to do, we got to get the Bible out. We got to open it up. We got to read it. We got to understand it. We got to know what's there for us and what's presented to us there. And we got to know the truth, and the Word is the truth. John 17:7. And we're going to skip through some of these here. God has entrusted His Word to us. God has entrusted His Word to the apostles. We see the apostles were given it. Their job was to go out and teach. God chose these 12 men at the beginning to go out and be the ones that take the Word into the entire world and take it to everyone who is alive. And here we see that that's ultimately it's entrusted to us in Jude 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our coming salvation, I felt the necessity to write you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which once for all handed down to the saints. So ultimately the word was given to the apostles to take, but then it was given to all of us. And the responsibility for us to spread that word and to take it to them. We are the caretakers and possess God's power unto salvation. The gospel. The gospel Bible here, that is, we're the caretakers. If we do not go and spread it and teach and study it, then who's going to do that? I just had a sales meeting where I brought all my team in. Every year we do a different, book, we do a different program. And so, I always make the joke that, it's kind of ironic that I'm in the textbook business, but I'm not only in the textbook business, but I'm in like, you know, student K through 12 textbook business. So for 15 years, every year I've been trained on a new book. So it's like I've gone through grade school two more times. So I've learned everything about science, and I go back and I learn everything about math, and I learn everything about reading. And so we just went through a world language training and a social studies training. And one of the things I told my guys when we left the training, we did a two-day training. Two-day training, you can't learn a whole lot of anything in 2 days. It sounds like a lot, but when you have to go do sales presentations and answer questions from people who've taught world languages for 30 years, you know, you got to know the program. And I told my guys, I was like, you got the next 3 months. You know, we got the summer off from selling, but they got 3 months to study these programs. And I said, you guys are adults. I'm not going to be over you making sure you study. But if you're going to be successful in the fall, you got to study these programs. We're all adults, guys. You know, the Bible, the Word of God has been handed to us. You're not going to be able to put your hand on it and it's just going to ooze in, or you're going to be able to look at it. Or because you own five or six, if we're going to know the Word of God, we've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to be the caretakers. And there's only one way to do that, and that's by opening it up and reading the book. So this is where we start tonight. And I started with this passage on Sunday. But 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards to be one found trustworthy. We're stewards of the mystery of God. We're stewards to the thing that people are searching for they don't even know they're searching for sometimes. I know I've done sermons and I've done a lot of research on depression and suicides. And it's amazing to me how many famous people are committing suicide right now. I mean, last week alone, I mean, there was maybe five. There was some chef, and then the Kate Spade lady, and there's two or three more, and there's been a couple since. And it's like, it doesn't make sense, right? You're famous, you're wealthy, you seem like you have it all, and you kill yourself. And I think that comes down maybe because they don't understand their life or understand where they're going or understand what's going to happen in the future or get it. But we, as Christians, we know this life. We know what we're here for. We know what our purpose is. We know what our intentions are. We know we have a Father who loves us. We have a family here that we all have the same goal of getting to heaven, and that we're stewards. We're all stewards of this mystery of God that we can share with others. And I believe some of these folks who had committed suicide, had they been taught, and had they been able to understand, and had they known, maybe they would have had a different life perspective. I don't know that 100%, but I believe in the power of the Word of God. And I think maybe that's why we're seeing more of that in our country, because the further away we get away from the Word of God, the further we don't understand our purpose and what we're here for and what we intend to do. As a steward of the word, we must be careful what we do with it. Paul said, teach the word. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to the God. Let the word of God richly dwell within you. Think about that. Dwelling within. How does something dwell within you? Yeah. It's part of you. You begin to you think about it. It becomes part of you. I remember the first time I went to a camp. I didn't even go to camp as a camper. We just didn't know about camps when I was a kid. But I went as a counselor. And I remember after I went the rest of the summer, I'd never heard any of those songs ever. And I'd be weed eating. That summer I had a weed eating job at a golf course. I became a very good weed eater, by the way. You need a professional weed eater. I weed eat 8 hours a day. Man, I'm really good at weed eating. But I'd be singing these songs in my head, all these camp songs, all day, every day. I'd be singing them all the time. I'd be singing in my head and thinking. It's kind of like it dwelled within me. Like it became, it becomes a part of you. And having the word dwell within you, it's a part of you. It oozes out of you. It's all about you. It's all around you. 2 Timothy 4:1-2, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who judges the living and the dead, and by his appealing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So we're only ready 3 months out of the year. 6 months out of the year? We're ready all the time. We need to be ready at any moment to be able to talk and to teach and to be able to answer a question and to be ready to go, be able to go with that. In season and out of season. I like the ones that are up here. And we got to make sure we do all of these. I think sometimes we probably... focus on maybe rebuking or reproving, but we got to be able to take the word and be able to do that, to reprove and rebuke. But also, we got to exhort too. We got to encourage. And we got to have great patience and instruction. We're going to be good stewards of the word. We got to use it in all of these facets. We can't just be really good at one and forget the other ones. And I think it's very important that we're able to be patient. Until I did this sermon about 2 years ago, and I'd read this about a million times, and I'm just pulling off the top of my head, so I probably will mess up here on quoting this. But I think it was Peter, but he came to Jesus about forgiveness. You know, do I forgive 7 times? And they thought that was enough. You know, if Johnny here, or, you know, Jimmy or whatever, you know, 7 times? Do I have to forgive him any more than that? You know, and then Jesus went on, you know, 70 times 7. I mean, and he's like, it's difficult, you know. But that's that part about being patient and instruction and teaching and being there. You know, using the word, being a good steward, not only to reprove and rebuke, but exhort and with great patience. Hebrews 5:11-12, concerning him who have much to say, it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. I don't want to be preaching on this point, but you know, if you've been a member 20 years and, you know, you've been a Christian for a very long time, there should be a certain level of growth. And I've heard sermons and preachers saying, if you had a child that didn't grow for 6 years, what would you do? You'd take him to the doctor. You mean this kid's not growing. There's got to be something wrong. If we are not growing, there's got to be something wrong. We should be continually growing every year. Every year we should be growing. And what has been amazing to me, I have preached sermons 20 years ago, and I have then turned around like last year and preached the same sermon, but it wasn't the same sermon. It wouldn't even close with the same sermon. Because I preached a very elementary version of something, not truly understanding it. I'd read the passage. And it wasn't I've taught anything wrong. It was that, wow, now I really understand it. Like, I understand the deeper meaning of what this is. And one of those sermons was just amazing to me. It was a couple years ago. It was the debtor, the guy who owed money. And so the one owed the amount. And finally, he forgave it. He forgave all of this. And then the other guy didn't want to forgive the little. Well, the part that he forgave, if you put a dollar amount on that, it was like trillions of dollars. Like, it was an amount of money that you would never get. And the point of the story is that what we're going to get for forgiveness is just, we don't deserve, like, we could never buy it. We could never pay back the debt that we have. And to me, that was one of those amazing growth opportunities. I'd read it a million times. And I think as we grow, we got to go. And if we're not, it says here, then you're going back to elementary principles. And you may have to come back and get the milk and not solid food. So being good stewards of the word is that we're studying, we're growing, we're moving forward. And if we're not having that, then we need to question ourselves, why is that? And is there a problem that we have here, being able to teach? Paul said here, the whole word. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I went to a funeral. I'm not going to say which denomination or group, but it was a nomination. It was a group. The person doing the funeral started quoting passages. But I found it odd that the quoting was like three sentences of a passage. And then he would go to another passage and it'd be like two sentences of another passage. And then he would go to another passage and it'd be like three. It wasn't even the complete thought. Like, I understand quoting a script, like verse 28, but it wasn't even verse 28. It was like three words of verse 28. And then leaving off the other whole half of that. It's important here. We declare the whole purpose of God. When I preached in Bradenton, Florida, it was a congregation where you had to be at least 85 years old to be a member there. Ain't somebody in here at 85, is there? So I don't want to... All right, 2 months. All right, good. So 85-year-old people at this congregation, they want to take me out to eat every Sunday. So there was about 12 of them. So I knew every Sunday they were fighting who was going to take me out to eat. The interesting thing goes, they never took me to Olive Garden. Or they never took me to... to any chain restaurant. They didn't take me to a meat and potato place like Mark likes. He likes, I think Outback. I've been a couple times Outback with him. I think he likes that one. There's another one here in town. We never went to one of those places. We always went to like these places called Piccadilly. And Piccadilly's were like a la carte. It was always a la carte places. And it was already prepared a la carte. So you'd get your cafeteria tray, and every Sunday we'd go and you'd pick your cup of pudding and you'd get your cup of salad and whatever you wanted. And that's what we did. And that was fine. It was great. They always paid for it and I loved it. Religion is not a la carte. You don't get to pick what scriptures you want. You don't get to pick what passage you want. You don't get to pick what books you want. This is not a cafeteria style religion where you get your tray and you get a little this and a little that and a little this. It's the whole purpose of God. And unfortunately, too many people these days cherry pick, or they have what I call a la carte religion. Doesn't work. It doesn't work in anything else in life. You can't have a la carte taxes. I'll pay whatever taxes I want, and the ones I don't want, I'm not going to pay. Gene, where does that wind you up? There you go. And a la carte religion will wind you up somewhere worse than that, right, Gene? And then I can go on and on. You can't have a la carte bills. I'm going to pay whatever bills I want, and the bills I don't want to pay, I'm not going to pay. And I could go on and on with that example. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work with the Word of God. We have to have the whole purpose of God. And then nothing but the Word. We must be careful what we do in making sure that it's nothing but the Word. 1 Timothy 3:1-7, he says, as I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is the love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matter by which they make confident assertions. We got to stay away from strange doctrines. We only are able to do what's in the book. When you start going away from this book, you're saying that God did not know what He was doing. When you start going away from this book, you're telling God that He didn't complete His job and that you could have done better. I don't want to be in that position on Judgment Day. He told us exactly what we needed to know, and He gave it to us here. And when we start going away and start going down paths that we don't have answers to, these strange doctrines and these myths, and you know, especially the generations, Jews would have been concerned about that. We get into genealogies here a little bit now, but I don't think anybody bases anything. Well, I don't know. I think some denominations may base on religion on that, but we can't stray away from the Word of God. We can't go out to so-and-so's a great writer, so I'm going to put all my faith in this writer. So-and-so's a great speaker, I'm going to put all my faith in that. Or whatever the times is going on, or whatever events are occurring, this is the only thing we need right here, the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:16, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Preserve in these things, as for you, as this will ensure salvation for yourself and those who you hear. 1 Timothy 6, 20-21, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid worldly and empty chatter and opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which have professed those gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. This is what's interesting about this particular passage, and as you mature in life. I was a poli-sci major. Thought I was going to go to law school. Wound up going to grad school, and then thought I was going to go to the law school, and then wound up not going to law school, which I'm very thankful for. I think my business choice and career has put me in a direction that was good for me. But prior to that, I was in a lot of the debate clubs, and most of my political science classes my senior year, it was all about arguing. It was all about debating. It was all about you pick whatever side. I mean, and it got to the point to where you didn't know what you were going to do. You'd walk in a room, and they'd pull a topic out of the hat, and it'd be like, you're for it, you're against it, let's go. And you wouldn't have any time to prepare at all. And that kind of stuff is fun, and it's great. But this avoid worldly and empty chatter, this already been decided. There is no, we don't need to argue for argue's sake. This is not a contest. This is not a forensics competition. I saw myself, in my younger days falling into that, just wanting to argue about something and had some view and wanted to debate it and whatnot. You know, we got to make sure that we're doing that. We're sincere and we're not having this empty chatter and just having opposing arguments. I think it's really interesting that we remember that as we're looking through this. 2 Timothy 1:13-14, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you the treasure which has been entrusted to you. This is the second time we've seen the word guard. You ever thought about that? Guarding the Word of God that's in you, the Word of God that you have been taught and that you've read. Do you guard it? You ever thought about that? Do you guard it? Do you try to keep people from taking it away from you? I mean, that's guarding, right? Guarding, you're protecting it. Guarding the Word of God. I find that interesting here. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. Accurately handling it. You know? Do you accurately handle your checkbook? I'm not asking you to raise your hands because I know. No, I'm just kidding. That's what overdraft protection's for, right? You don't need to accurately handle it. But you look at things in your life, you know what accurately handling it is. You make sure it's right. I go, my wife always makes fun of me because I'll just mess with her. I'll just call her up and be like, I check our credit card. I check all of our cards, you know, not daily, but, you know, I try to run through them just to make sure and our debit cards and stuff to make sure that they're accurate. And, I'll just mess with her and I'll just call her up and say, yep, you've been to McDonald's today, haven't you? Oh, you've been checking the cards, haven't you? Or you've been to Sonic twice today, you know, and I'll just do that just to mess with her. But two Mondays ago, I was just randomly going through it. And all of a sudden I saw $200 withdrawals from an ATM. And I was like, I don't do that. I mean, 20 bucks, I never, if you ever think I got any money on me, don't waste your gun or your bullet, because I never have a dime, all right? I never have money. I don't know if I even know what it means, looks like anymore. And so $20 will be the most I'll ever pull an ATM. So I saw that, and immediately I went to my wife, and I'm like, honey, did you, because I didn't think she did. We were going to have a very loving conversation about it, but did you take out two $200 transactions? And she said, no, I did not. So then I went back and I looked where the ATMs were, and it was in Nashville. Well, I had not been in Nashville in over a week or 2 weeks. Sure enough, somebody had copied my card 3 months later to the bank. We were able to figure out where it was at because another client at this bank happened the same thing on the same day. We both went to the same location. So anyway, somebody copied my card and got my ATM. And they took out the money. And see, I was checking. I was accurately making sure. And luckily, I was accurately making sure that I caught it in time and was able to get my money back. And we were able to figure it out. And I got my $400 back. Luckily, I only had $400 in there. Typically, I got about $50 in that account. So the guy got a lot. But I feel bad. He probably was hoping for more. He got a guy that never has any cash. But with the Word of God, just like we're checking our checking accounts and making sure they're accurate, as we hear things and as we see things and as we read things, we need to accurately make sure it's correct. Accurately make sure that we're saying the things. Accurately making sure everything is correct. Accurately handling the Word of God. That's being a good steward with the Word of God. Titus here. Be as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Speak those things that are fitting for sound doctrine. And so making sure that what we're talking about and what we're saying is that which is fitting for that. And we must do it in a unified way. Philippians 1:27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is probably the hardest one of all the ones I've talked about so far. But as we study and as we grow and as we work through this, we got to stay unified. And we've got to work together. And we can't start making camps and factions and have disruptions and enemies and finger pointing and all the things that sometimes may occur when looking at different topics and issues. It's important that we stay unified, that we work together, that we come to a conclusion and are able to work through that. And I think it's so important. And Paul says, whether I'm here or not there, I need to hear that you guys are unified and that you're working together in this, handling the Word of God. Any questions or comments about this section? Okay. What is my responsibility to others as a steward of the Word? So consider Philemon 6. As a steward of God's Word, shouldn't I share it with others? And so here, he says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of God. And so being a good steward here, going back, and we've hit on it a little bit, but making sure that we share it. And I'm not trying to say it over and over again, but the message that we have to share, the Word of God that we have to share, is the most important thing that anybody will ever get and will ever see. It will change people's lives. It will make people better. And it will ultimately save their soul. That's the message that you have. And it's important that we share that with others. And that's our responsibility to do that. And this is the thing that David wrote, and I copied it and put it on here. So I didn't write this. I'll make sure you didn't know. I can't write this well. I'm still learning English. But think about it. The Creator of the universe has placed you in our hands, His Word. The cure for the greatest scourge of every plague that ever plagued mankind. It's not the cure for AIDS, cancer, or an incurable common cold. It's the cure for sin, the cure for death. Where the cure for cancer, would we keep it ourselves or would we freely share it with anyone, everyone who suffered from the disease? And then he had a little thing on his notes he gave me. He had gut check. You know, think about it. And I think if we think about it in that context, we realize how serious it is for us to make sure that we take God's word and God's message and that we do share it and let others know about it. So how do I become a good steward of the word? Pray. Prayer is always a good start for everything. Praying that God will be with you and will help you. Will help you study. Will help you get understanding. Will help you have an open heart and an open mind. Praying that we're able to look at the Word and be able to put it in our lives. Be faithful to it myself. This is one of those things where, with your kids, you know, you tell them not to do something, but they say, well, you do it, you know, and you're like, well, I'm the parent, I can do it, but you can't do it. Well, that's not exactly right. If we're going to say something, we need to walk the talk. I know so many times we may fall short of that, but we've got to try and put our best foot forward and make sure that we're trying to be faithful to the things that we're preaching and teaching. And that we're sharing with others and the example that we're setting. And that's tough. And I know James talks about preachers and teachers and how much more difficult it'll be or their punishment will be. I'm paraphrasing, but the reason being is because you're in front of people and you're doing this. So you better make sure you know and that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And I think being faithful yourself is so important. But Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin. You've become obedient from the heart that from the teachings in which you're committed. When we become a Christian, we become committed. We say we're going to be committed. And so it's important that we follow through with that. Luke 8:21, but he has answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. James talks about hearing, right here it is. We'll just go ahead and read it. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, he abides by it, not having been forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. And maybe the guy didn't like what he looked like. Maybe he just wanted to forget what he looked like. No, I'm kidding. It's important that when we hear things and when we study the Word of God and when we hear it, I know Jesus said that, those who have ears, let them hear. I always thought that was so odd growing up. Like, were there people around who didn't have ears? And he was only talking to the people who had ears? No, that's not what Jesus was talking about. How many people in here have selective hearing? Gene immediately raised his hand. I appreciate your honesty, Gene. That was great. Selective hearing. I've developed, after I had kids, I've developed a pretty good selective hearing. And I think what Jesus was talking about and what we're talking about here, it's one thing to hear something. But truly hearing it, meaning understanding it and putting it in your mind and putting it into practice and doing it is a whole other thing. We've all heard a lot of sermons. And I've sat in a lot of sermons. I've sat in a lot of Bible classes. I even sat in Bible classes for a year at Florida College working on my biblical studies degree. I've heard a lot, but there's a lot I probably, it's probably a lot, not a little, a lot, that I probably should have applied to my life that I haven't. Just because I heard it doesn't mean anything. It's hearing it and then putting it into practice. And that's what he's talking about here. One who looks at the law and studies it, and that person who applies it, that's what we've got to do. And we've got to have an open heart to be able to do that, to work through that. So we got to be faithful to the Word. Study, study, study. Proverbs 2:3-6. For if you cry from discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. For His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Hebrews 5:11-12, concerning Him you have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again for someone to teach you elementary principles and oracles of God. You have become to need milk and not solid food. That's a lack of study. A lack of personal commitment to opening the Word of God and studying it. Hosea 4:6. This is one who just kicks you in the chest. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. There are 6 billion Bibles out there. You'd think everybody that walks the face of the earth would know exactly what this thing says. But because you own a Bible doesn't mean you're going to know what's in it. I own hundreds, maybe thousands of books. I ain't read any of them. I don't know what's in them. They got a nice cover. I can tell you the title. I could speculate. I tried that in school. We had these accelerated reader tests. I'd get the ones at like 50 points. I was like, I just get a couple questions, right, man? I get like 10 points, and I'll be done for the rest of the year. Whew. Man, guessing was hard. I failed most of them. Usually got in trouble. Kim, nobody did that in your class this year, did they? Nobody. My son wasn't there yet. He'll probably try that because he's got a lot of me in him. Just because you can look at the cover and you see the little cartoon characters on the front don't mean you know what's in it. Their problem... And we already saw what happened with the whole people, the God's chosen people. Their problem ultimately came down to the fact that they were destroyed because of lack of knowledge. To the point to where they lost everything. I love, it's Josiah, right? I love the story of Josiah. They went and they're cleaning out. I think they're cleaning out. And they find the Word of God. They ain't even seen it in years. They don't even know what it is. And they're cleaning out, and all of a sudden they find it, and he reads it, and he's like, oh my goodness. We gotta start getting back to the Word. Can you imagine the chosen people of God losing the Word of God to the point to where it was in some closet somewhere, and they were cleaning out and they found it? That could happen to us. Matter of fact, it happens to us. The lack of knowledge and the lack of God's Word will utterly destroy you. And it's important that we read and we study and we continue to grow. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. This next one is the one I really like. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Hey, apostles come and teach, and people come and teach. They're like, that's great, preacher. But you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go home and I'm going to study what you said. I'm not going to take your word for it. I'm going to go. I'm great. I'm glad. Great sermon. Great Bible study. But now I'm going to go home. I'm going to study. And I'm going to study daily. And I'm going to make sure that what you're saying is accurate. That's what they did. That's pretty amazing. And unfortunately, there are people who are in congregations Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday that are hearing things that are contrary to God's Word, yet they don't open their Bible up, they don't study, and they don't look to see if it passes the muster test. We cannot fall into that trap. We have to be stewards of the Word to the point that we are studying and we're examining the Scriptures daily to make sure that everything that's being preached and taught is accurate to God's will. I'm going to confess something to you today. I've been attending here, I think, almost 11 years. I am positive in 11 years I've been wrong many times. This is being recorded, so if you want my wife to hear this, you can play it back. Matter of fact, it's video recorded now, so it's actually on video. You can watch it online, video or thing. I'm going to be wrong in the future. There's a good chance in a Bible class that I may be wrong on something. You know how I know that? Because I'm a human being. And I'm never going to present to you that I am 100% and I believe and I'm confident and I've studied. But there's a good chance that you're going to come up to me and go, you know, I've looked at this, and I'm going to be like, you know what, I never thought about that. And we'll study that. And I may have a different take after that. I know that's going to happen. And if I live long enough, it's going to happen several times. But if we never challenge and we never study and we never examine and we just take what everybody has to say for it, we're not helping ourselves and we're not helping the preacher and the teachers and we're not helping anybody. We've got to be eager, and we've got to study the Word, and we've got to examine it daily to make sure that everything is what God wants it to be. How to become a good steward of the Word? We've got to recognize and embrace the mission. Jesus had a specific mission. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but the world might be saved through Him. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Jesus knew what His goal was and His mission, and He came and He fulfilled that. No one else on the planet in all the history could accomplish it except Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Jesus was the only one that could pull that off. And the disciples, I must share the same mission. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all. Therefore, all died. And He died for all, that they who might have no longer lived themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. We now have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us, God is love. And the one who abides in love is abiding God. For God abides in him, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may be confident in the day of judgment, because He is. And so are we in this world. And we've got to seek opportunities to share the good news of the gospel with others and play whatever part I can. Some of us are going to bring people, and some of us are going to baptize, and some of us are going to teach, and some of us are going to do all kinds of different things. 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters anything, but only God makes these things grow. Is that the correct bell, or am I got another bell? That is the correct bell. In closing, be like Jesus. You know what Jesus did with the Word? He quoted the Word. When He was being on trial with the devil and He was being tempted, what did He do? He let the Word dwell within Him. And He quoted it every time something was going on. You want to be a good steward of the Word? Be able to do like Jesus did. And this last one here, you want to be good stewards of the Word? It's being good stewards of Jesus. In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is being good stewards of that. to me, that's pretty amazing. Guys, it's been great teaching this class. This is my last class to teach. Thank you for all your kind comments and being attentive. And hope you guys have a great evening.